Welcome into the Patriots podcast. I'm James. He's Sean.
What's up?
Recapping a New England win over Houston. Thank God it came down to the wire, but we did it.
That was a goddamn nail-biter, huh?
Yeah, it was too close.
Steamy day in Foxborough. Did you see the beginning of the game? Obviously, they showed all the national anthem stuff, but then they panned up to Robert Kraft in the box, and he's got the biggest sweat marks I've ever seen.
Really?
They weren't even like pit stains. It was like he was wearing a backpack or something. Like you haven't worn a backpack in decades. I know that.
I did not.
Yeah, it was probably a jacket. Yeah, that's a good call.
But 36-33 victory. Me and Sean both predicted it. That wouldn't be as close. Houston played a pretty damn tough game.
I predicted they would have 6 points, and Deshaun Watson made me eat my words.
Yeah.
This is a guy I've been praising for months. I praised him last week on the show, and then immediately doubted him.
Just dumped on him in the recap.
Yeah. Whoops. I guess I was right initially.
22-33, 301 yards, TDs, two interceptions. I mean, 22-33, that's pretty damn good for what we expect.
And one of those interceptions was on the last play of the game on a Hail Mary.
Right, one.
You take that out of there, and I mean, it's a damn near flawless game on his part. Two touchdown passes that were just brilliant.
Yeah.
The one, I'm thinking the one up the seam, was that to Griffin? No. Griffin was a back shoulder. It was the one to Ellington, Bruce Ellington. And it was like up the seam. He looks left, gets McCourty to commit that way, comes back into the seam and hits him perfectly for a touchdown. The other one to Ryan Griffin, also against McCourty. I know we've been talking how good McCourty's been playing, and he has been. These were superior offensive plays, but Griffin was running a corner route, and Watson throws a back shoulder on a corner route, which is damn near unheard of.
Yeah.
You don't see that play, but it was beautiful, and they were on the same page. It was perfectly executed.
Pretty damn good. Watson spread the ball around 8 different players. Hopkins had 7 receptions. Griffin had 5. I mean, I got 2 things out of this game. One being that no doubt Tom Brady has still got it and still probably the best player. After people were maybe a little questioning what's this whole thing with Garoppolo and all this shit, I would say Brady pretty silenced everybody in the last, especially this. And then that the defense severely lacked in several areas, especially communication. I mean, communication to me seems like it's just down, and that really starts with center of the defense, which is Alandon Roberts, Kyle Van Noy. The two of them, you know, next to a superstar like Hightower or somebody like that, maybe it's not so much a problem, but them calling the defense is clearly an issue between...
I mean, you need Hightower.
You're missing the missing piece.
Yeah, you're missing arguably your best player on defense and have been since halfway through the first game of the season. And is it any coincidence that that's when the defense went downhill?
Yeah.
He got injured in, what, the third quarter of the first game?
Yeah,
they died in the fourth quarter of that first game. And they showed signs of life against New Orleans, which is great. But against this Texans team that put up like 13 points against the Bengals or something... They looked god awful. They looked like a sieve out there. I mean, it was shades of the 2011 defense.
Yeah.
Where we were 31st in the league in pass defense.
Just guys open, like wide open. No one near them. What the hell's going on? Gilmore got an interception, good, but it was really just a bad throw.
It might have been a miscommunication on their side.
But it's really just, you could tell the first second, you know, there's not enough knowing where somebody's supposed to be, what's supposed to be going on. People aren't lined up correctly. That's all fixable. I mean, they have so much talent in seconds. Just really got to start pulling it together here.
Yeah, it's mental mistakes all over the place. And then sometimes they're getting beat, but it's also about being in the right place and knowing you got your guy.
Right.
A big part of this game, watching it, was the frustration everybody had when Deshaun Watson would just dance in the backfield and we couldn't lay 2 fingers on him.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then, I mean, looking forward, we're going to have Cam Newton next weekend, and that's going to be an even bigger problem. But we're just not that athletic up front. We talked about putting big bodies up there to stifle the run game, and that worked to some extent, but it really inhibits your ability to corral an athletic passer like that when you got Adam Butler playing one of the edge positions, and then you got
Cassius Marsh,
who's he's doing
a strip sack.
He's doing a fine job, but he's not elite. The only really elite athlete up there is Trey Flowers.
Dietrich Wise
is playing great still.
It's just too bad they have to rely on him this much. Like, why couldn't he be the guy that was like third in the rotation for pass rusher? Then we'd be really dangerous. The fact that he's thrust into the number 2 position is tough.
Yeah.
That's a lot on him.
It's a problem. They had a couple screen passes that broke kind of big. I remember how to say his first name. But he broke that big screen pass along the left sideline. There were some missed tackles at various points. DeAndre Hopkins had a good game, a lot better than I expected him to, but certainly didn't take over or anything. No. 7 for 76. Deshaun Watson had a couple good runs. He ran in the first half. He ran on almost every third down. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
It was like that was the whole idea. He would just have one read and then pull it down and try to make it.
41 yards. And it really wasn't like he was getting a ton of yards. It was really that he was just making negative plays that should have been negative plays. He was turning into positives.
Slightly positive, yeah.
So, I mean, defensively,
there's a lot to work on.
There's a lot to work on. And Belichick said it. There's a lot to work on. I thought Malcolm Butler's better game than he's been playing, which is he's stepping in the right direction. Gilmore, I expect more out of him. I mean, some plays he shows up, beast. Other ones, he's like lost.
Well, at least this week he didn't give up an 80-yard touchdown. Yeah. For the first time this season, he didn't give up a deep touchdown pass.
But he gave up a big play, didn't he? There's definitely one big play he gave up. And then, you know, Harmon, you haven't really seen much from him. McCourty's been a tackle machine, but even coverage, like you said earlier, he hasn't been himself. And Chung really hasn't been up either. So, I mean, that's a lot of talent and a lot of money invested in those guys, so they really got to turn around.
I thought Jonathan Jones had a good first half, but got exposed in the second half.
Yeah.
Eric Rowe was inactive, so Jonathan Jones was thrust into that third cornerback role. And as good as he's looked so far this year, this might have been, you know, a little bit of a reality check on what he's able to do at this point in his career. There were a bunch of injured players going into this game. Who else was sitting out? Rex Burkhead sat out.
Vincent Valentine went to the IR.
Valentine's out for the year.
Is it the year?
I mean, it's got to be, right? They're already going to try to bring back McClellan. They're going to try to bring back...
Well, no, it's definitely Malcolm Mitchell is the one.
Malcolm Mitchell.
He's the one. And then between McClellan, Valentine...
It could be a toss-up.
That could be a toss-up, I think. Depending on who you need more, you know.
Yeah, I guess. And, that might just depend on who gets injured going forward.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably it for...
defensively, I mean, it was just more of the same thing we saw for Kansas. Just, you know, big plays that shouldn't have been happening. That it's like, who the hell was there? Why isn't anyone there? What's everyone doing? It was just breakdown. It's not like, you know, they don't have the talent to cover these people. They're not in the right time.
Yeah.
And that's communication.
They played a lot of, like, base looking packages, 3-4, 5-2, however you want to call it. And I thought that they were unaggressive in that. They were, like, sitting back. I wanted to see a Landon Roberts. He's a great run blitz. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see him blitz once.
He didn't really go. Yeah,
just, like, send him downhill. You can let Van Noy cover up the two gaps behind him. But and I continue to be unimpressed with what I see out of Van Noy.
Yeah. He's more of a role player guy. I mean, for him to be the center of the defense, him to be calling these plays, it looks like he stepped behind everything. I think, I mean, I don't know.
Could be thinking.
His football knowledge is where it's supposed to be for calling a defense like that. I mean, he's always just like one step behind, like that one when he almost made the interception. He went for the interception. It would have been a great play.
In the flat, yeah.
He missed it by a half a step. The guy took off. It was like a 20 or 30 yard gain. It's like, that's not something we can deal with.
We're watching highlights right now, and Deshaun Watson is a magician in the pocket. He's just dodging like 16 different Patriots at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, the story of this game is initially big time defensive struggles against the opposite of an offensive juggernaut in the Texans. But that was the story of 58 minutes of the game, and then Tom Brady takes the field needing a touchdown
and
to win, and obviously. I mean, there was a 3rd and 18 from his own side of the field, and he connects with Amendola for like a 25-yard gain. It's like, are you kidding? 3rd and 18?
And then two ridiculous ones. Cooks finally had his coming out party. Thank God.
Big time. Yeah, after that Amendola catch, I believe it was the next play.
That Brady just fired it to Cooks in the end zone.
I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, like, come on, take your time, call play, maybe even take a timeout. I think we had two still at that point. Like, don't rush into this. And then Brady gets to the end of his drop, takes a step up. I think he got hit a little bit on that pass to Cooks in the front left of the end zone. So it hung up in the air, and I'm just watching it float. And the safety's trying to get over there. Cooks gets it right in the chest.
Spot.
Taps his feet, hangs onto it, kinda, on the ground. And,
Enough. I mean,
they didn't have the right camera angle to reverse that one.
But, I mean, Tom Brady, like I said earlier, I think this puts everyone at rest that does he still have it? Does he not still have it? I mean, the guy, this is a top, definitely top 10 deep, arguably top 5.
And they played like it, too.
And they played well. I mean, Brady was getting killed for a good part of that.
He 5 sacks, 8 QB hits.
Standing in there and not even affecting it. 5 touchdowns. I mean, he went 25 for 35, 378 and 5 TD. That on a good defense, great defense, that is impressive.
Oh, unbelievable.
With no running game.
Yeah, our running game was non-existent. We averaged like 2-point-something yards a carry. And, like 2.9 yards a carry. And Brady was just doing it all himself while getting torched by merciless, he was getting clowny. J.J. Watt really didn't make an impact in this game. He looked exhausted the whole time.
Well, I wouldn't say he didn't make an impact.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was getting at least double-teamed. And at some points, they were chipping him and then double-teaming him.
There was several passing plays where they just kept Gronk in a block.
Yeah.
And that, they kept six blockers. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that are saying the offensive line has been playing bad and it wasn't a good outing. I mean, between, like you said, Clowney, Merce, and Watt, that's better than any other team.
It's top-notch. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney had two sacks and a touchdown. Like, are you kidding? And that's not even their best player. Yeah, it's pretty nutty, the embarrassment of riches that they have, especially in the front seven.
And then they had that tackle blowing up number 98. I don't remember his name, but he was ripping apart. That was...
Yeah, they played really well. But as we keep saying, despite Tom Brady, I don't know. I can't even say anything bad about the performance. I mean,
he's 40 years old. He got stripped. Five touchdowns.
He got stripped three times.
Yeah.
You can't have that. No. But I mean, a lot of that has to do with Marcus Cannon not playing at right tackle. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they went with Ladrian Waddle, not Cam Fleming.
I'm not sure
either.
Maybe and because he's bigger? I don't know.
You see the first play of the game, we had Cam Fleming at left tackle and Solder was sitting?
Yeah. But, well, no, Solder was on tight end.
Solder missed one snap and I don't know when.
So he came
I thought
in,
it was the first play of the game.
It was the second play. The first play, I think he came in as a sixth man blocker. He was playing tight end around the corner. And then because he was eligible receiver, he had to come out for a play or something to go back to check in at the line. Does that make any sense?
Maybe. That might. I'm not sure what the rules are on that type of substitution.
But I think it was a substitution thing. It wasn't like a bench performance-based thing. They wanted to try something, and it didn't work.
No, not quite. I don't know. Waddle didn't stand out to me that much, but they were giving him tons of help.
Yeah.
Tons of help.
Well, they had a six blocker. Like I said, they kept the tight end there the whole time. Another guy that's really been unimpressed has been your boy, Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen looks terrible. They threw him the ball in the flat in the first half at some point. It was like hitting stone.
Yeah.
It was massive deflection off his hands. He looks terrible.
So
is he blocking? I can't even.
He's blocking.
He blocks a lot.
But it's like, you know, what the hell?
And they gave his backup, Jacob Hollister, a chance, threw him one pass up the seam, and he almost got KO'd.
He held on to the ball, though.
Yeah, he held on. That was impressive. And it was a completely clean hit. I think he hit him in the chest or the rib area. Clean. And he went down and stayed down.
He got blittered.
Who knows if he'll be back anytime soon. At running back, James White played, I think, about half of the offensive snaps. He had five carries. He had only one catch on one target.
Yeah, they didn't really use him that well. The receivers were pretty much killing him. Between Cook, Gronk, and Hogan, and even Amendola.
How about Hogan? Yeah, we didn't even bring him up. Hogan had
two touchdowns,
including that one big crosser where he beat the guy to the pylon.
Yeah, so he's playing well. Cooks, like we said, he's on fire. Finally, he had his coming out party.
How about that deep pass to Cooks?
Oh, that was
another
great.
Deep vertical. And Brady just drops it right in. It was beautiful.
It seems like they finally reached the same page. A week ago, we were saying it didn't look like they had, but it's nice.
Yeah, definitely nice. I thought they were leaning way too heavy on Gronk.
Well, they are. He had eight receptions. I mean, it scares the shit out of me.
I know. Every time. And they hit him low a couple times. I mean, you kind of have to.
Oh, you do. I mean, that's...
You have to.
I've been thinking about it since I saw, you know, seeing Gronk watching this season, you know, between the tight ends. Who do you have? You know, you have Gronk, you have Jimmy Graham, you have Tyler Eifert, Jason Witten.
Jimmy Graham's not even in that list anymore.
No, he's not. He was. So you look at...
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce is the other one. But you look at all these guys. They're all like 6'5 to 6'7.
Yeah.
They're all fast, athletic, and big, but like you have these little missiles of guys flying at their legs because that's the only way they can take them down.
That's
probably the most dangerous position field.
It might be.
They're getting killed.
Yeah, they're like tanks, and you have to go after the treads. It's the only thing you could do. But I don't think it's sustainable.
It's
in the
not.
Same way that we leaned on Amendola so hard in week one, we can't lean this hard on Gronk going forward.
No. Well, now that Cooks has made a bigger splash, I mean, there was that one play you were talking about. Brady's dropped it in there for Cooks, the first touchdown.
Ugh.
And then you see Cooks just accelerate. No, I'm talking about the one across the field.
Yeah,
caught
it
and ran
that
for a touchdown.
One was incredible.
So he caught it and accelerated, and the guy behind him literally stopped running, became so fast.
Yeah, we saw that. It was basically the exact same play with Hogan, where Hogan was running to a pylon against somebody, and then you did it with Cooks like a quarter later, and you saw the difference in the speed.
So fast.
Just like.
So, I mean, if they can figure out how to get him the ball more now that Brady's on the same page, and clearly trust him to give him the ball in that situation in the end of the game for the game winner. I mean, he trusts him.
Yeah.
Use that speed. They're going to figure out a way to use more so than they have. And that's a guy you can kind of, you know, rely on for that many receptions until you get someone like Malcolm back and Amendola heals up, and then now it's looking at Philip Dorsett heals up. Now you got a little more to work with.
Yeah, Philip Dorsett played a lot of snaps. Didn't have a catch or a target in this game, but he's another guy that could make an impact until Malcolm Mitchell's back. I want to see some more crossers out of Brandon Cooks. Mm-hmm. Nothing horizontal at all. Yeah. What are you doing? And the screen game on this team is non-existent.
They haven't even tried it. They have two of the best screen running backs probably in the game.
I just don't get it. It's the same offensive line outside of Cannon this week, but I mean, we've been a good screen team for years. We got good backs for it. There's no reason Brandon Cooks can't run a screen. We've seen Chris Hogan run screens.
They've got an athletic line, so.
Yeah, I just don't get why that's not part of the game. In the running game, it is a tough team to run against. We knew it was going to be hard sledding in the interior there. Gillislee had a bunch of chances. I don't see him breaking tackles. You see that? I like how he hits the hole hard. He doesn't get negative yardage, but he's not bringing something extra.
Shedding guys too. Yeah, well.
I was hoping he would, and he hasn't so far.
Yeah.
That, I mean, this was, as quickly as we went through this game, this was an unbelievable finish to this game. This was a game where we went out early, kind of, and then they came back, and then we took the lead, and it looked pretty handled. It looked like we, at 28-20 in the third quarter, it looked like we had a pretty good handle on this game. And then it was just, you get that sinking feeling. The same thing against Kansas City, where it's like, oh no, we're losing it, and oh, what's going to happen? And to their credit, they didn't quit this time.
No, they fought back.
They fought all the way back, even though the offense did nothing in the fourth quarter until that last drive. Play. Yeah. What was it, like three consecutive three and outs?
Yeah, they couldn't do shit.
And then when they had to have it, guess what? They had it.
Yep.
And that's just how it goes sometimes when you got number 12. Do you see Brandon Cooks? They interviewed him after the game. They're like, dude, you made the game-winning catch. Like, how did that feel? He goes, oh, Tom Brady just did what Tom Brady does. Yeah, it's awesome. He goes, I was just fortunate to be there.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, hey, happy 24th to Brandon Cooks, by the way. He's only 24. Crazy. It's his fourth year in the league.
That is.
Yeah, this is a big-time win because we were on the precipice of going 0-2 at home to start the season.
Yeah.
Of going 1-2 to begin the season. Of falling two games. The Bills are 2-1, right?
Yeah, we're so tied with the Bills.
We're
right
tied
now.
With the Bills currently. But yeah, it was huge, enormous win. Another classic in Brady's belt. Hey, 50 comeback wins. 50 game-winning drives.
I thought it was 52.
I thought it was 50.
50?
I thought he was at 49 before this. Fourth quarter/overtime game-winning drives.
It just shows.
He's still got it, obviously.
He's still got it, man.
Do not doubt that man.
Yeah.
Not that anybody that listens to this podcast does. Now, let's go take a look around the league real quick. What else happened in week 3? Did you catch that Thursday night game?
Parts of it.
Rams-Niners. We're sitting here last week just being like, this might be the worst game of the week or of the season. And it was unbelievable.
Offensively, it was ridiculous.
I was glued to the screen on Thursday night. No one could stop anybody. Incredible catches. Jared Goff looked good. Even Brian Hoyer looked okay. Carlos Hyde is a stud. Sammy Watkins looks like a first-round pick again. Like, it was so much fun, and everybody was playing so hard because I wonder if part of, especially the Niners, I wonder if part of them thought, this is our only chance to win.
Yeah.
Like, we might have one more chance to win later this season when we play the Rams again.
Yeah. But outside of that, there was a lot of upsets. There was nothing came easy. I heard a lot of my betting friends be like, oh, there's so many locks. Yeah, tough shit for them. Jacksonville beat the shit out of the Ravens.
Yeah, big time.
47.
That's two really lopsided wins for the Jaguars and one big loss.
Yeah.
They are up
all
and
over the
down
place.
And
all
up again.
All over the place. Now, that was in London, so maybe that screwed with Baltimore.
Oh, did you see John Harbaugh whining about it? I don't want to play in London anymore. Dude, no one wants to play in London.
He really said that?
Yeah, John Harbaugh did. No one wants to do that. Shut up.
Colts beat the Browns. Brissett played pretty well.
That was a joke. What a joke of a game. I mean, that's the 1-2 picks this year. Guaranteed.
Yep. Philadelphia eked it out against the Giants. The game winner on the came down to the last second field goal, carried the kicker off the...
It was a 61-yarder. Can you blame him?
Rookie.
So badass. Guy gets picked up off a practice squad. It kicks a 61-yard game winner.
Was he off a practice squad?
He was on the Bengals practice squad,
Holy
I think.
Holy shit. What else do we got? The Jets beat the shit out of Miami.
That was the most surprising one of the day, probably.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the Jets have anything. I thought that the Dolphins were okay. I mean, you could say that it was in New York, but really, is that a home field? It's a giant stadium.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
MetLife Stadium, whatever. It used to
Adam
be giant
Gase
stadium.
Is saying he wants us done with the garbage offense. That's your offense. The biggest shocker to me was Buffalo Bills beating the Denver Broncos.
That's big league.
I mean, does that mean the Broncos aren't for real and the Bills are? Was it a fluke? I don't know what to make. I didn't get to see enough of the game to make hell happen.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher right there. Oh, Bills were at home. Broncos, I don't know. I mean, did they get big heads because of what they did last week to the Cowboys?
Maybe. I don't know. New Orleans versus Panthers, which one we'll get into later. Also, New Orleans kicked the crap out of their team.
Yeah, they looked stunning. Like the team people thought they
yep.
At least offensive.
The Bears, another one. The Bears beating the Steelers.
That's craziness.
That's crazy.
And they were up the whole game, and they almost gave it back, but they were able to pull it out in overtime.
Shows what the Bears running backs, 1 and 2 combo, kicked the crap out of the
Who was their number two? That kid, fast.
Both, the Thunder the
little
and Lightning.
One. Yeah, and then Jordan Howard, obviously everyone knows him, but that little lightning kid, holy yeah. shit, he looked good.
Killing it. And the Steelers were the team that everyone thought was the team outside of the Patriots.
In the AFC.
The NFC sucks.
Yeah, the Seahawks look like dog shit. The Packers are injury riddled. The Falcons look really good still. Cowboys are taking a step back. Giants are cellar dwellers.
Yeah, really. There's really not. Yeah, Atlanta beat Detroit barely. Did you see how they won?
Detroit's good.
But did you see how they won?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah.
With
Golden
Tate. 10-second runoff.
Oh, that was devastating.
That's tough.
That's a Chargers ending to the game.
Yeah, that really is. So the refs got the call wrong. Didn't call it a touchdown because they got it wrong.
Oh, no, they did call it a touchdown on the field.
Right, they called it a touchdown. They reviewed it, said it wasn't a touchdown. Because it's a review with under 2 minutes or something like that,
because
it's a 10-second runoff.
It would have been the clock running
right.
if they called it correctly.
And it was a 10-second runoff, but they're the one fucked it up.
Yeah.
So that's fucked.
Yeah, that's really bad.
That's fucked. So Atlanta somehow won. Minnesota...
Minnesota
Tampa.
Took it to Tampa.
17. That's
Case
tough.
Keenum with 3 TD passes. Sam Bradford not looking so good over after all.
Yeah, I know, right?
He might have just lost his job. No, I'm just kidding. But they could do it without him.
Tennessee beat Seattle. Tennessee put up 33 on that.
Yeah, and it was almost entirely in the second half. It was like 110 degrees on the field in
was
Tennessee.
It?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
those guys were dealing with some serious fatigue. But once again, Seahawks, I was clicking back and forth between the Seahawks game and the Packers game, and I was just like, is there a single offensive lineman on either of these teams? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson,
killed.
Running for their lives consistently.
Rodgers was getting destroyed against the Bengals. Barely won it, 27-4, came in, they won it in OT.
They inched their way back in that game. Bengals scored 14 in the second quarter, and then the Packers were just clawing back in.
You got the Chiefs, Chargers. Chiefs took it home. One of the only 3-0 teams.
There you go. The Chiefs are probably, number one in the power rankings,
they
I would guess?
They gotta be. Another big surprise, Oakland getting blown out by Washington. You see that game?
Yeah, that was fun to watch.
Washington's
I mean,
defense is ridiculous.
They Carr looked incredible.
Carr was getting sacked within a second.
And that's an offensive line everybody thought was a premier group.
Yeah, they've got a lot of names on there. They were just getting blown the fuck up. They couldn't do anything.
By essentially nobodies.
I can't say that anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
And then the last one, Dallas eked it out last night against Arizona, and just terrible play calling by Arizona.
Bruce Arians is having a rough go.
Falling apart.
He's having
at
a real
the
rough
seams.
Go. DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end from the Cowboys, unblockable.
Yeah.
That guy was outstanding.
I don't know if he's doing a little something extra side there, but hey.
The Raiders shit in the bed like that. That's another team I wonder if they just got too big for their britches. They were just thinking they were the shit. Marshawn Lynch dancing on the sideline last week.
Yeah.
And then you're watching the game, and the Raiders are on offense, and Marshawn's got a snow cap on. He's got a winter hat on.
Yeah.
I'm like, put your helmet on, dude. You can get called in on any play. Do you want to play?
Yeah.
Evidently not.
He's ridiculous. So...
The state of, this is still September football, so this is why there are so many betting mistakes.
Downs,
yeah, there's so, because...
Until week four. It's really, once week four games are over, then you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I would lean more towards like week six.
Well...
But certainly not week three.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of these, I'm sure people who are betting on these games, they go, it's 2-0 versus 0-2. This is a lock.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, not even close.
Right.
What are you talking about? Everyone's still figuring stuff out. And this is the last week in September. We're going to be moving into October next. And the premier game for us as Patriots fans, Pats Panthers.
Yep.
This is a Panthers team who has been kind of up and down over the last few years. They obviously had that 15-1 season in 2015. Last year they had a big down season, a lot of injuries. The previous years they had been kind of a mediocre team, made the playoffs a couple times. I think they made the playoffs at like 7-8-1. So it's mm-hmm. a team that's a veteranly led. They got Cam Newton on offense, they got Luke Kuechly on defense, Thomas Davis in there, Walter Payton Award winner, and they got a lot of familiar faces. The last time the Pats and Panthers faced off, I want to say it was a Monday night game. It was definitely a night game in Carolina. You don't remember this game. And it was real close, and then this must have been in 2013. And a real close game, and the, we threw it to Gronk in the middle of the field for the game-winning touchdown.
Keekly tackles him.
Molested him in the end zone.
Fucking
and the referee is just, well, I don't know what happened. And then immediately ran off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately exited the field. Didn't want to see Tom Brady. Didn't want to talk to Bill.
I remember that, yeah. So this year you got the Panthers. They're 1-2. First week they played the 49ers. They won 23-3. Last 2 weeks, I'm sorry, they're 2-1. My bad.
Yeah.
2-1.
Well, I mean, they beat the Bills 9-3.
Right.
Does and that even
then,
count as a...
And then the Saints beat them to 34-30. So the last 2 weeks they're having severe issue with their offense, which is great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Exactly what we need. What but we they're need. Sitting there thinking, oh, this is the defense that's going to solve our offensive woes.
Maybe.
Well, that's what I would think. Like, that's what we thought when we were going into New Orleans. Oh, okay. We got their defense. We'll be able to put it all together against that defense.
We kind of did.
Yeah, we did. And let's hope Panthers don't have the same luck against us.
Well, I mean, against the Saints, they put up 13. What did we put up? 30-something?
Yeah, 33.
33.
Yeah, okay.
So there's step one. You look at what they did. Now, this was defense a sieve for New Orleans. Cam Newton threw 3 interceptions, 17 for 26, 27 inches. That's terrible.
Wow. 4 sacks on Cam.
Yep. I mean, just all around bad.
You definitely got to be better against a pretty terrible defense.
Christian McCaffrey led the team in receiving, 9 receptions for 100 yards.
He's a good player.
Still.
11 targets, 10 targets for Devin Funchess, Kelvin Benjamin, 2 targets. Yeah. I mean, that is a completely lopsided. They must have, I don't know what they did to Kelvin Benjamin in that game to make him that erased.
Was he hurt still?
I don't know. I don't see Greg Olsen on this stat
he's
line
hurt.
At all. Greg Olsen's hurt? He's out?
I don't know if he's out, but hurt. He's been hurt.
Oh, that's his security blanket. That can make the whole house of cards fall apart.
He did well running the ball, but I mean, again, it's against fucking the Saints.
Yeah, and it might have been against a prevent defense, too.
Yeah. So, offensively...
Actually, I think Jonathan Stewart did well in the first half to start it off.
Terrible.
I know. They have a ton of talent on offense. I mean... Cam Newton, former MVP at running back. They got Jonathan Stewart, Christian McCaffrey, Cameron Artis Payne, Auburn boy, wide receiver. We mentioned Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess. The problem might be the offensive line. I mean, they just gave big money to Matt Khalil to play left tackle from the Vikings, and he has never been good in the NFL. I mean, he was a top 5 pick. I loved him coming into the draft out of USC, but he just hasn't been good. And they gave him stupid money to play with his brother, who's an aging center. At this point, I don't like what they're doing up front.
I mean, that could be it, but they're running the ball. He did get sacked at the time, and that's a so that can. I mean, defensively too, they gave up.
Well,
they gave up 34 to a team that we stopped at.
Yeah, and Carolina was at home, I believe.
Yeah.
For this game, so I mean, the way that the Patriots match up defensively against the Panthers' offense, they got tall receivers. That's the thing. Devin Funchess. Kelvin Benjamin, those guys are both 6'4 plus.
Yeah,
if Greg Olsen plays, that's another 6'6 dude. And then they got the scat backs. They got Christian McCaffrey. They got Samuel, that kid from Ohio State, also a rookie, second round pick, Curtis Samuel. He's another speedster. I think he ran like a 4.31. So they have this combination of size guys and speed guys. And you gotta think that Eric Rowe and Stephon Gilmore are going to get a long look against these two.
That's if Rowe's healthy.
Yeah, if Rowe's healthy enough to go against those two tall wide receivers. And also Patty Chung. I mean, Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin. At least Funchess played tight end in college. Benjamin's the size of a tight
huge.
End. He's like 245. Yeah. And that's Patty Chung's specialty. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him match up on them from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then... I mean, you can't load the box, but they're going to try and run.
They are going to try to run it, and we just got some pretty good practice against Deshaun Watson in a read option type look. Not that Cam Newton does a lot of that. He's more under center nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another mobile quarterback that we're going to have to contain.
Well, 4 sacks, it seemed like.
Can Hightower come back this week, please? They said it was not a big injury, and he's already been out 2 weeks. 2.5.
2.5.
And at least he came back to practice last week, but, I mean, it looks like the defense really used him.
They might be easing him back.
I suppose.
It's a long season. You can't screw the guy. If he comes back, gets injured again, then you really... So, interesting how... What they're going to do. But, I mean, there's really not... We don't have a whole lot with defense right now. The guys don't know where they're going, so...
Hope and pray.
Yeah.
That's going to be our scheme.
Figure their shit out.
Now, against their defense, they have... They usually run a classic Tampa 2-type deal that, you know, the Urlacher Bears defenses or Derek Brooks Tampa Bay defenses are the ones that come to mind. And it all starts with Luke Kuechly in the middle of the field, going sideline to sideline, making plays, covering the center seam plays. And then you also got Shaq Mason and Thomas Davis flanking him, or Shaq Thompson.
Yeah.
And what'd I say, Shaq Mason? Shaq Thompson former first-round pick running back out of Washington, and Thomas Davis on either side, athletic linebackers. Thomas Davis is long in the foot, but long in the tooth.
Defensive line used to be good, but they don't seem to be playing well.
They got good players. Yeah, I don't know why
Johnson's
they wouldn't
good. Star Latouille's good. Short's good. I don't really know Mario Addison. I mean, between the three guys.
Yeah, and then you just got Julius Peppers behind him, too.
That's true. Yeah, Julius Peppers. They got Kyle Love there. They've got, I don't know if Love can, but former Patriot.
He's a run stuffer. The whole scheme with this defense is create pressure with four guys and play excellent zone coverage behind them. And it takes a lot of the pressure off the cornerbacks. Well, it allows them to play in the flats. It's a big on safety coverage, and Luke Kuechly is the centerpiece to that, covering the deep middle.
Well, you also just said it's zone.
Yeah,
which
it's a lot
Tom
of zone.
Tom Brady's favorite friend, best friend.
Oh, he loves it. Loves it.
Eats it up for breakfast.
I would expect. I mean, that's something. I don't even know. Who do you think is a receiver that's going to exploit zone coverage at this game? I was thinking Amendola is a good man beater. He can also settle down in the zone, but I don't want to be leaning on him too much.
The running backs, definitely.
Ooh, running backs.
James White and Deion Lewis, get them. Can we get them on the field in goddamn time?
I don't know why that's not an option.
They never do it.
Seems like they barely.
Hopefully Cooks will burn the zone.
I don't see why he couldn't.
Should.
Yeah, we could run verticals. We run Gronk in the seam against Kuechly again, and then Dorsett and Cooks or Hogan and Cooks on either side. That seems like a good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Secondary, they don't have a lot. I mean, ever since they lost Norman, really, but screw.
Yeah, they got, like, Captain Munnerlin, James Bradbury, Daryl Worley. Those are their cornerbacks. Not that worried about it. Mike Adams is, like, 79 playing safety. Kurt Coleman's still there. Do you remember they had Roman Harper?
Yeah.
The safety? He had, like, complete just pitch white hair.
Yeah, just so great.
He looked like Mason Crosby. That's what being a kicker in the NFL does to you. Mason Crosby is just straight gray.
But yeah, I mean, this is a defense they should be able to play again after compared to what they just did against Texans.
It seems like you want to follow whatever it was that the Saints were able to do. And they got the ball to Michael Thomas.
They spread it around.
Yeah, I mean, they got their running backs involved.
They ran
Look
it,
at that.
They spread it around. They kind of looked like they just had their way with them.
Yeah, they just kind of did whatever they wanted. And very consistent worked. Scoring from them. Every quarter they had a touchdown.
And it all worked. So...
Well, should we learn from our predictions last week where I said it was going to be 20-6?
No.
I'm learning. I'm going 31-27. Patriots, obviously.
It's a home game.
It's a home game.
It's in New England.
Yeah, exactly. It's a home game for the Pats.
I go 35-17.
Wow. Jesus. Yep. That is a dominant victory predicted here.
We're going to win.
Jamesville. All right, feeling good about it.
Defense is going to figure something out.
Bill Belichick would disapprove of that one. Since we got that game covered, let's take a look at some of the other games. Thursday night game, Chicago going into Green Bay. Chicago, both teams coming off overtime victories.
Yeah, we'll
Chicago getting off the schneid, getting their first victory
of the year.
I
don't know what
you're
going to get with that. That could be a great game. It could be a terrible game.
Can Chicago rush the passer? Because Green Bay can't block anyone. Everyone's injured. They just put their third tackle of the year on IR. David Bakhtiari's out. Belaga's got a fat ankle.
Yeah, Christ.
Yeah, they can't do anything up front. If Chicago can get some pressure, they got a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they don't.
Probably not. I mean, they
put
just
it that way.
The Steelers. The Steelers are the same fucking team.
Very similar. Yeah, good point.
Similar defense. They both got a star quarterback. No offensive line. Great weapons on the outside.
Hey, Steelers' offensive line has really come a long way. It has.
Maybe compared to was at its worst.
Okay. The thing is, if Chicago didn't do that last weekend, I wouldn't have watched this game.
No, I wouldn't.
But now I absolutely.
You don't know what you're going to get. It's going to be New Orleans and Miami.
It's in London.
Is it in London
yeah,
again?
Yeah, Miami lost a home game.
Oh, someone's going to fuck the travel. But they're both coming from relatively some.
That's, I don't know. I don't know what to think. Miami really needs to, they just got smoked by the Jets. They can't go further down to that
really
death
hole. They
really
need to figure some shit out. You got Tennessee at Houston. That's a good game. That's a big division game.
That is a really big, Tennessee's looked good the last couple weeks. Houston looked good this week. Everyone knows that.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Yeah, another tight. Is this like a divisional weekend? No, there was only a couple ones.
Jacksonville versus Jets. I don't know. I mean, it should be a terrible. Who knows?
You got to lean towards Jacksonville, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they actually have talent.
But then the Jets just beat Miami and they have talent.
Yeah, but I don't know.
And Jacksonville threw up an egg. Who knows?
Jacksonville is a complete wild card. You just shake that magic eight ball and see what Bortles is going to give you. Detroit at Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Ooh, that's a big-time battle in the NFC North.
Yep.
Right for the top of the division standings. I guess you got Green Bay in that mix as well.
Yeah.
I wonder if Bradford's going to be... Is that like a phantom knee injury? When did that happen? He was fine in week one. He looked great. And then
it's
all of a sudden...
It's called being Sam
Bradford. Somebody breathed on him?
Yeah. All the time. Buffalo at Atlanta. If Buffalo wins, they're legit.
They are legit if they win this game. It's in Atlanta. There's no way. Can they travel? I don't know.
Pittsburgh versus Baltimore, always a... That'll be
hard
hitting, but Baltimore just laid an egg. So
yeah, they're
going to
be coming back.
Both teams laid an egg, so.
Well, yeah, yeah, it's going to be a big time rebound game for those two teams.
Yep, Cincinnati at Cleveland, that's awful.
Yeah, definitely don't watch that game.
LA Rams versus the Cowboys.
Okay, couple teams coming off wins. Looking pretty good. Do you know the Rams have scored more points than anybody in the NFL this year? They're the leading point scorers.
That's stunning.
Jared Goff. It's hilarious. Good for Gurley coming back this year after the sophomore slump.
Philadelphia versus LA Chargers. Maybe they'll finally get a win for the Chargers.
Doubtful.
Yeah, they'll probably blow it again.
Most likely.
New York at Tampa. Tampa take that.
Against the Giants?
Yeah.
The Giants came alive in the fourth quarter against Philly. They might have woken up for the season.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, they might have done it.
Because Odell was...
Yeah, that's it. But where was he the first three quarters?
San Fran and Arizona. Another, who knows what's going to happen there.
Don't care. Yeah. Don't care at all. Arizona got old fast.
Yeah. Oakland at Denver. That's
ooh, that's going to be a really fun one. It's in Mile High. Got to lean towards the Broncos.
And the last two night game, Indianapolis, Seattle.
They must have thought that would be a great game at the beginning
did.
Of the season.
They definitely did. That's going to suck. Watch. I hope Indianapolis will be funny.
Battle of the pass rushes right there.
Yep. Pass rush. Is Indianapolis pass rush?
Neither team has an offensive line.
Right.
So that's what you're going to be
Seattle should
at.
Win.
Oh, handily.
And then
it's
actually a really good Monday night game, Washington Redskins at Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. They'll roll the dice, and they got this one right.
Finally.
This is going to... Oh, that'll be a great game.
Stunning. Redskins. Monday night games in a row. How's that work?
You can get a ticket to the Kansas City game for $30. Are you kidding? $30 to go to Arrowhead? Sign me up.
I know, right?
That is craziness. Yeah, Pats are sitting at 2-1. Hoping to keep this train rolling after two consecutive victories. They got the Panthers coming into town. Defend home field. Actually, can they play four quarters of good football at home? We'll see.
That'd be nice. Well, I think that'll do it right now. You got anything else to add?
That's it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week to recap this game and talk about all things NFL.
All righty. Talk to you next week.
See ya.